We're going to be looking this morning at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And continuing in our series of faith and family and friends, this morning I want to do a shift for today and for really for the next couple of Sundays. And so in going around to the community and talking to different ones, I hope that you will share, especially with those that are starting their families and have growing families, that's what we're going to be looking at, because we're talking about some important things that God is going to teach us about parenting pitfalls, just where we can mess up. And one of the reasons that we just really need this consistency in our worship with the Lord, because we're in a credible world where we feel this pressure every day to conform to things that are not God's way, particularly in the area of parenting. And I want you to remember what the purpose of our series is. I give this to you in your life point outline if you want to pull that out, if you haven't already done that. And this is number one. There are three goals that we're going after, so we remember them. Number one is to motivate us, our family and ourselves, to be consistent in our worship on the hill. That we will just chase after the Lord once every 7 days. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other as the day of his coming is drawing near. So the Lord is coming back. We know that. God's already laid that out clearly in the Word. The rapture can happen at any moment. There are no signs for the rapture. It'll be sudden, and then everything begins to take place, all the signs that you see in Holy Scripture. And so the Lord says, as you know that that is happening in particular, and you see that taking place, that is something that is supposed to motivate all true believers to worship. And so that once every 7 days, we gather here on the hill for praise and preaching of the Word. We gather once every 7 days, bring our family together, present them before God to sing to the Lord, praise his name, and to hear the preaching and proclamation of the Word. And then number two, that we are moved to be consistent in a dedicated life group fellowship, that we want to be part. We want you. What does it mean to be a member here at Harmony Hill? It means you worship once every 7 days. It means you're part of a life group. Because Acts 2:46 says, they met in small groups in homes with great joy. And I want to tell you something. I know from like the life group that meets in my home, Catherine and those girls have such a good time together. I get so many different reports coming back about so many of you and the joy that you get from your relationships that have been built in those life groups. That's what it's all about. That encourages us to keep going. It's where you study the Word, you build trust, and you have friendships, somebody to come alongside of you and help you, because all of us have dark times in our lives, don't we? Huh? And it gets lonely. You need somebody that you can go to who loves you and you can trust them. And that's what life groups are all about. No matter how big our fellowship gets, the excitement of worship in here, there are always 10 to 12 people who know you on a first name basis. And they know that you're here. They know what's going on in your life. And that's why we want you in a life group. It's where people pray for you and where you confess your needs to one another. We all need that. Then number three, that month to month you are serving Christ and others through some kind of ministry. We have a lot of ministries taking place right now, but we don't have all the ministries that God is going to give us. Some of you, God is going to birth new ministries in you. There are ministries still to come, ministries of reaching people for Christ and encouraging them and being the arms of the Lord Jesus to people in the church as well as outside the church. And so what are you going to do? What ministry are you going to be in? And it's going to fight the universal temptation in all of us to be selfish. It is easy to sit at home and just kind of, you know, look at ourselves. It is easy to focus inward and just think about us. And don't do that. You can't do that. You won't grow and develop in Christ. And so I want to encourage you. That's what it means to be a member. And we thought about, what does it mean to be a member? It means to worship God once every 7 days. It means to be in a life group, building relationships according to Acts 2. And it means that you are involved in ministry because Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. And so if I'm going to be like him, I'm giving back. I am serving out of the giftedness that God gave to me. And so from week to week, I just want you to know when you're here on the hill, I'm going to be pushing you. All the pastors are going to be pushing you. That's what we do. We are here to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And we're getting better at both of those. So just welcome. So let's look here at Proverbs 4:23. This is why we're here. Let me read it from the New Living Translation this morning, because I just like the way that it's worded. Guard your heart above all else, for it, the heart, determines the course of your life. Now, I want you to notice, number one, the importance of biblical parenting. The importance of biblical parenting. We're talking about faith and family. And one of the reasons why we're doing this whole thing, and one of the reasons why we're encouraging you to be regular in worship. Listen, I remember growing up, I remember learning some things in the area of science. And one of those things is, you know, when you just turn on a light switch or whatever, light bulb, and that light just goes out, and it's really diffused. And if it's powerful enough wattage, then it just, you know, it lights up a room and makes it to different levels of brightness. But I also learned growing up that you could take a magnifying glass and get some dried leaves or paper or whatever, and if you could get in the sunshine just right and get that magnifying glass just right and make that small little beam, it would start a fire on that dry leaf. You know what I'm saying? Many of you did that. Some of you said, yeah, I remember doing that. Made some great fires. I could tell you a horror story, but I won't. That's for another day. I learned not to play with fire. But anyway, and so when you take it from being diffused to make it a little bit more intense, it can start a fire. If you really intensify that light, you'll make a laser and you can cut metal. And so the point is simply this. When you know what your purpose is as a parent, it's like you are focusing what you're doing. You're focusing your calling. And God, when God says a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, and he says children are a heritage of the Lord. And then he talks to moms and dads, and one of the things that he says is, I want you to constantly be talking to your children about me. I want you to do that. And I just want you to think about how you're doing that. I want you to think about how you did it. I want you to think about how it was done to you. Because that's totally important. You and I are raising our children and grandchildren from a biblical perspective. We are raising them in an increasingly dark and decaying society. Sins that 20 years ago were gasped at are today publicly flaunted. They are on major television shows and they're encouraged. It is amazing. No longer can your television, it's been a long, long time since television could be a babysitter. Would you agree with that? Television knows no age. It will tell anybody anything at any time. My grandchildren, your children and grandchildren, are growing up in a country where homosexuality, abortion, cross-dressing, pornography no longer infuriate people. When they are flaunted just right in front of your face, as they used to. Today, each of these deviant behaviors has their own advocacy group. And there are people today in each one of those areas that I just mentioned to you who will argue that each of their activities are healthy and even desirable, and that they will seek to totally discredit and discard biblical scripture, and they assume upon themselves the right to declare to anybody and everybody what is right and what is wrong. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that is a fulfillment of biblical scripture. I shared this a couple of weeks ago. Satan was a prophet himself. And in Genesis 3 and verse 5, he told Eve, he said, eat of this, you will not die. But in the day you eat of it, you shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. What he failed to mention was, you shall be as gods in your own mind. You will not be a god, but you'll think that you're God and that you know what right is and you know what wrong is. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in that period. We are in the time today where men and women are casting aside what God calls right and what God calls wrong, and they're making a whole new morality. And my children and grandchildren and yours are growing up in that. And the Bible warns that there are consequences. That's our message. It is our message to get out to the world. There are consequences when men and women forsake our Lord God. Amen? There are. You must never forget that. That's our message. There are consequences. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That is being fulfilled in my own family. It's being fulfilled in your families. It's being fulfilled with families all across Lufkin and Angelina County. Families are disintegrating. I doubt that there is anybody here under the sound of my voice or watching on television that is not untouched in some way by divorce, broken families, child abuse, juvenile delinquency, or gender identity struggles. Now here's an insight I want you to understand. Because this is the place where we find ourselves. Here's the insight I want you to hear. The Church of the Lord Jesus, Harmony Hill, the Church on the Hill, we have to hold to biblical patterns and articulate without fear or shame what the Bible says about the family. That's what God wants us to do. That's why the Lord has planted us here. Because see, here's what the Bible also says. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now watch this. Men are doing whatever they want to do. Lost people are going to do what they're going to do. What you and I understand is God permits a lot of things, but God simply says there's always a consequence. Do not be deceived. You don't get away with anything. You don't dishonor me and get away with it. And there is a way that you think is right, but it's going to end in death. There are countless men and women in our world today who are full of their own wisdom, and they are arrogant toward God. Many of them just blatantly so. And there are many that are blind to biblical truth. They simply do not know the truth. And here's what God says in the Word. This is the danger. God says that there is this hostility. There is a hostility in our world toward God. And the Bible says the hostility toward God resides in the heart of all natural human beings, unconverted people. There is a hostility toward the Lord. And anybody that you work with, anybody that you're around, anybody in your family, there's a hostility in them toward the Lord. And what I want you to understand is this. Do not forget this. They have an opposer. This is what moves us to evangelism. They have an opposer against them because they are at odds with the Lord. And the Bible says that God is literally their enemy. James 4, verse 4, you adulterers, you harlots, you prostitutes, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? And whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Listen. Every church in America today that is apostatizing, every church, every denomination that is throwing the Word of God aside and is embracing the ways of the world because they want to come across as being loving and accepting and embracing. You understand one thing. That denomination, that particular church, whoever they are, has made God and their enemy. You understand that? If you want to be friends with the world, God says, I will become your enemy. I don't know about you. I don't want to be on that game. I don't want to be in that. And the Lord says that's what's happening. What that means is They will have their own way until payday arrives. And the consequences of their sin, my friends, my family, your family, the consequences of their sin is going to bring them to their wits' end. And really, until that happens, most of them will not listen to anything that you're going to say about the ways of the Lord Jesus. But God says you love them, you bear witness, and you wait. Because the Lord says all around you and me today, now listen, here in Lufkin, there are thousands of men and women and families that are at their wits' end. And they are broken, and they are searching for hope. And they are the ones you and I are to throw a lifeline to. Those are the ones that we seek to minister to when we're giving out food. Those are the ones that we need to be reaching out to across our city, are the people who are at their wits' end, because they need to know there is somebody who cares for them. Their sins have brought them where they are, but there is a God of hope. Amen? There is a God who says, if you will come to me, agree with me where you are at fault against me, I will forgive you, I will cleanse you, and I will begin to give you a new life. Now listen, the power of Sunday worship, the power of gathering on the hill, of the church coming together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, is there resides here when the Lord God meets with us. There is this ability to change the trajectory of any family's life when they begin to seek God with all their heart. We can see families turned around. That's why we're meeting. And that's why I want to applaud you for embracing changing to three services on Sunday morning, coming 30 minutes earlier, doing everything that we're doing. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, being a church that wants to be an answer to the problems and the hurts and the pain of the people of our city. Would you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank you for being the church that you are. When they hear the word, when they come under the influence of the Holy Spirit, their life's going to be changed. Now listen, these motivations, worship once every 7 days, be part of a life group, be involved in ministry, that's what makes us the church we are. Some of you are new here this morning. You're wondering, what does it make this church sick? Listen, those three things drive us. Those are the things that move and motivate us. Here's what I want you to know. Every life is driven by something. Your parenting is driven by something. How you parent, the way that you parent is driven. And what I want to do today, I want you to look at this verse in Proverbs 4:23, and I want you to see how it applies to parenting. Read it again. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Look at the inside in your outline. God wants his purpose in parenting to be the driving force in your home. We are driven as a church for these things. What is supposed to drive, mom and dad, your parenting? Grandmother, granddad, what is supposed to drive your relationship with your grandchildren? Look at number two, the purpose-driven parenting. When you begin to talk about child rearing, there are all kinds of things I think that come to mind. I remember that day, June the 29th, 1975. It was a Sunday morning. Of course, I'm a pastor, so when are my children going to be born? On a Sunday, of course. And so Kristen came in. We got up, I think, 2 a.m. that Sunday morning. And, went to Memorial Hospital and we just had a great time all day long. And about 4 o'clock, he decided to come that afternoon. And I remember when the nurse pushed that door open and held him up to me, first thing I felt was not joy. First thing I felt was, 12 years of school, 4 years of college, God help. Here we go, lock and load, right? You know, that's the first thing. And I begin to think about responsibility. I begin to think about raising him and raising him right. You know, when you want to be a good parent, you want to feed your child well. You want them to eat healthy. You want them to, you know, reflect you. You want them to wear nice clothes. You know, it may not be designer clothes, but you're going to be nice clothes. You know, if they need braces, you want that. I thought that we went down that road with both the boys. You want them in a good school. You want to see them make good grades. All those things, there's nothing in the world, nothing that is bad at all with that. They're even necessary. But as people of the Bible, you and I have to understand those things, even though they're good, that's all surface. It's all surface. It's not the real deal. It's not really the heart of parenting. So look at your outline, the inside. The heart of a parent's job is the heart of their child. That's it. And I want you to look in your life point outline. This is not original with me. I got this from James White, who got it from another author that I can't remember. So this is third hand. But I just thought it was so good. I want you to look at this concentric circles. And let me just give you this, because I think this is one of the best ways of expressing so you understand your heart, your child, and what God says is really important. And that inner circle right there, the core of your child is spirituality. All right? And spirituality is their soul. It's their relationship with Jesus Christ, if they have one. It's the worship that comes out of them for their Creator, their spirituality. And then coming out from that, the next one out is their character. All right? And character is who your child is when nobody's looking. It's not who they are when you're in the room. Who are they when you're not around? Because who your child is, who my children are when I'm not around, that's who they really are. Okay? That's what's important. Who are they when you're not there? That's what's important. And then the next one out is conduct. That's their manners, you know, behavior, how they relate to others, and how they relate to authority. And your child needs to learn how to relate to authority early on, right? There will always be somebody over them all their life. They need to learn how to relate to authority. And then the outermost is success, you know, career and college. But even though all of these are important, the Bible says in our text, above everything else, guard the what? The heart. Guard the core. Guard spirituality. Guard character. That's what you guard. What do you want to guard in your son, in your daughter? You want to guard their soul. You want to guard their character. Conduct and success are important. I mean, who among us as a parent or a grandparent wants to see the kids that they love sleeping around with whoever and wherever and, you know, whenever they want to? I mean, no one's going to do that. Now, you don't want to see your child or your grandchild own drugs, but it's right here that we lose perspective. But now watch this, because what is happening in churches is there is an over-focus on this outward. There's an over-focus on how they are on the outside, their success and their conduct. Let me just look at this insight. This is huge when I saw this. Making sure our children, your child, doesn't do drugs, doesn't sleep around, is not as important as raising a child that doesn't want to. Does that make sense? And what we do is we focus on keeping them from doing it. It's all about keeping them away. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand? That's why the Roman Catholic Church has had such horror stories. What they have learned, if they learn anything, is sticking somebody in a monastery with high walls all around doesn't change the heart. And you can keep your child on a short leash. You can keep them away from everything in the world. You can block television out of the home, but they are already defiled. They're already dirty. Our least one, Elena, we were taking care of her yesterday. We were having a time.
And Emma, the oldest daughter, she said, "I just don't understand." I said, "She's lost." And Emma just looked at me. I said, "She's never been born again. Jesus is not in her heart. She's sinful at her core." And if statistics tell us anything, they tell us that professing Christian parents are losing the parenting challenge. Why? Because young people brought up in church are abandoning the church family and God's command to worship as they're leaving to enter college. And they leave home, they get out of town, they get out of mom and dad's sight, and they're entering lifestyles of immorality and the indulgence of their flesh. They go absolutely ape wild. What is wrong with that picture? Something is wrong with our parenting. And so here's the insight. Focus on success and conduct only creates a pressured conformity, but it never reaches the heart. Your child can have the cell phone, the car, the travel that you never had, the clothes, the house, the room, the achievement in school, the sports, the clubs. You can do all of that, and you can do it all because that control and forced compliance were your parenting tools of choice. You made him, you made her, you made them conform. And you can have a child that looks perfect on the outside at graduation and they are a mess on the inside, but they don't let you know it. And they're waiting for that day when they leave home because your conviction is never their conviction. And you can give your child everything money can buy, and they will leave home, and they will make life decisions that will break your heart. Mom and dad, the future of your child depends upon you. Listen to the wisdom of Jesus. Mark 7:21. From within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Here's the insight. You can parent for appearance and obedience and lose your child. The heart of parenting is the matter of the heart. And all I want to do today, I just want to rattle our cage. And you may be saying, "How do I do that?" Come back next week. Ha ha! Biblically speaking, there is nothing I can do. There is nothing you can do. Now listen to me. There is nothing you can do. There is no promise in the Word. There is no guarantee in Scripture that you can raise a child and that you know that you know that you know they will chase after the Lord. That they'll always do the right thing, that they will steer clear of sin in every fashion, that they'll always honor God in all that they do. Your child, my children, my grandchildren, they have a free will. They can and will make their own choices. And I'll tell you one thing, they will be tempted and they will sin, just like you and me. Right? Huh? So these next messages, one or two, maybe three, are going to be about avoiding parenting pitfalls. And I want to focus for a couple of weeks on just how to reach the heart. That's what has stirred me. So how do you reach the heart level in a child and in a grandchild? Let me just close this morning with this. I want to read with you a letter written by a dad and a mom. They understood the biblical principle of parenting a child's heart. They're going to take this 2-week overseas trip. And what the dad said was, he said, "We all of a sudden became obsessed with this idea, what would happen to our 4 young children if something happens to us? You know, maybe we ought to go on 2 different airplanes. You know, so if one goes down, the other one doesn't." You know, so we're just kind of freaking out on that. And so they decided they needed to sit down and write a letter in case of their demise that would be read to their children. Listen to this letter. It's incredible. "Dear kids, for reasons mom and I will never understand on this earth, God has decided to take your mommy and daddy home with him. We're very sorry for the sadness that this is bringing to you. We want you to remember that as Christians,
We never really say goodbye. One day we will see you in heaven and there will be no more tears. Of all the things that we tried to give you, nothing was more important than our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. Never turn away from God. Walk with Him throughout your life. Nothing is more important than this. Up to this moment, all of you have turned your hearts to Him, and we have been so proud. To Rebecca, our princess, and Rachel, our sunshine, we couldn't have two more beautiful daughters. As you grow, guard your lives. If you marry, please be sure that he knows Christ intimately. Your father has tried to model for you what to look for in a man. Do not accept less. Both of you can do anything you want with your life. You have the intellect, personality, gifts, and talents. Don't let anyone ever tell you differently. To Jonathan, our best buddy, and Zachary, our sportster and little man. What parents could have two sons they could be prouder of? As you grow into maturity, remember the model that your mother gave you of a woman who was beautiful on the outside and the inside. If you marry, be sure it's somebody who loves Christ with all their heart. Give your lives to God. And remember, you can do anything you want, for you're remarkable young men with more potential than any young men we know. And the world needs men who will make history for the cause of Christ. Be those men. We love you all so much, and we want only that you love God and live lives that make a difference for Christ. We will be watching from heaven, rooting for you, and looking forward to the day when we can wrap you in our arms and tell you how proud we were of your life. Daddy and Mommy. Wow. I want you to bow your heads, would you? I want to give you an opportunity this morning as we launch into this important subject. I want you to think about where you are in relation to the heart of your child, your grandchild. And I want to encourage you this morning, if we're going to have a few minutes of an invitational time. And I want to invite you, if you would just like to pray this morning, I want to invite you to maybe come forward this morning. My pastor brothers will be here if you want to just counsel or talk with somebody and enter into prayer. But if you want to just kneel or stand here, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for my own grandkids, and not all of them are in the fold yet. I'll tell you what I'll be praying for. I want to pray that God will do what only God can do, and that is that He will give me the heart of my grandchildren. That I will have their heart. Because if I don't have their heart, they're not going to listen to me. If your son or your daughter doesn't have, if you don't have their heart, they're not listening to you. And so this morning, if there's anything you ought to pray for your child, regardless of their age, and for your grandchildren, is that God will do what only God can do, and that is that God would give you their heart. And that if He will do that, you will be faithful to lead them and point them toward Christ by how you live and what comes out of your life. So I want to ask you to stand, begin to make your way. My pastors are here. Just come if you want me to pray with you. If you want to pray and call out to God for the heart of your child, your grandchildren, I want you just to come and find a place, stand, kneel.